background scripture that we had was where God speaks to Moses and asks him to go and speak to Pharaoh and release God's people. And Moses comes up with all excuses. I can't do this. I can't do that. Who do I say you are? And who do I say sent me? And God just says to him, I am who I am. Say this to the people of Israel. I am has sent you. We've got to speak about the fact that even though we pray for certain things, sometimes it appears as if God doesn't answer us, because God is sovereign. En op die einde van die dag, hy gaan doen wat hy gaan doen, omdat hy God is. Even though you ask according to faith and you believe the word, sometimes, ladies and gentlemen, things happen that we don't have an answer for. And the devil would want to convince us and lie that God doesn't love you, God doesn't hear you, he's not the God of the Bible, he's changed. None of that is true. It's just that God is sovereign. And because we people, sometimes bid ons verkeerd. Sometimes we pray for something, God sees the big picture at the end. Ons staar ons blind aan die omstandighede hier voor ons. In the meantime, God weet van beter. Altijd, altijd, altijd. And that's because he is sovereign. That was last week. We're going to go into it this week. I got to meditating on, obviously because of the theme, the scriptures that show how God is sovereign. And it's interesting the choice of songs that Leon chose. And I commend you, Leon. I do this when you sing. Many years ago, I also had to, they were very, 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 very desperate. So they let me sing. They had absolutely nobody else. And yes, it was a men's meeting. And you stand up there and you sing with the music accompanying in the background. It's a challenge. So I appreciate the heart and the attitude with which you do it, Leon. But the songs that he chose, you know, Agnes Day, You Are Holy, and Jesus, All I Have Is You. All those songs got me thinking about the holiness of God. And it's true. God is holy. We said many times that he's not die groot baas daarbo of iemand daarbo. He's the great I am. He's God Almighty. And it's true. And it's good to understand the sovereignty of God. I'm going to start off this week's message, the sovereignty of God. God is sovereign. Number two, with an interesting passage of scripture. I want you to let your imagination run wild with you and picture this as we're reading. In fact, whenever you read the scriptures, do this. That's why God has given you an imagination, to try and color it in and to actually picture it. Also meditate on it, but just picture the scene of what it might look like. In John chapter 18, verse 1 to 6. After saying these things, Jesus crossed the Kidron Valley with his disciples and entered a grove of olive trees. Can you see the olive trees? It's like a grove of olive trees. There's lots of them. Across the Kidron Valley, and Jesus went in there. Can you picture it? How many of you can see the olives? How many of you can smell olives? I'll drink what you're drinking. And then Judas, the betrayer, knew this place because Jesus had often gone there with his disciples. And the leading priests and Pharisees had given Judas a contingent of Roman soldiers. And we know that that's approximately 600 men. Picture this. There's King Jesus, 12 disciples, including Judas that's going to betray him, and 600 Roman soldiers to come and arrest one dude. One guy, excluding officers. So you picture this. There's all this mensa yella. Me, like several of you, have been chased by the cops. I can get away from a patrol van or two, but 600. I've been chased by the cops, and then I became one. Ha, ha, ha. 600, excluding the officers. Picture this. It's night. It's dark. Okay? And 600 men and temple guards to accompany him. And now with blazing torches. It's not like torches that we have, like a lead lens or a mag light. It's a flammer. They held this. It's held this like a handle with a tar on or something that would burn and burn and burn. Those were the torches of the days. Lanterns and weapons. Hierdie manne is ernstig. Okay? And they arrived at the olive grove. And Jesus fully realized all what was going to happen to him. It's just like, oh God, you let me get caught. I got bust. Couldn't you have? No. He knew exactly what was going on because he's alomvetend, he's omniscient. Hallelujah. He knew what was going to happen to him. So he stepped forward to meet them. Picture this. are you looking for? He asked. It's like he's calling their bluff. He knows exactly who they're coming for. Who are you looking for? He asked. Jesus the Nazarene, they replied. No, it's a lack of braaf, ne? 600 weapons, torches, one oak. Excuse me. And Jesus says, I am he. Jesus said, and Judas, who betrayed him, was standing with them. As Jesus said, I am he, they all drew back and fell to the ground. He didn't shout. He didn't scream. He didn't wave his hand. He didn't ask for fire and lightning and brimstone. He says, who are you looking for? Jesus the Nazarene. I am he. 600 men, excluding officers, with weapons and torches, flat on their backs on the ground. Picture it, ladies and gentlemen. This is the sovereign God that we're talking about. He's no longer a baby in a manger or a naked man on a cross. He's coming back as the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, and there will be no end to his kingdom and his power and his glory. After all is said and done, he's coming back to rule and to reign with us. He's the great I am, and he is sovereign. He's sovereign. And sometimes God moves in various ways, and under the Holy Spirit people fall and people have knocked it. But there's several instances throughout the scriptures where the presence of God is so overwhelming people cannot stand. And then sometimes Christians push it too far and then they start pushing each other over and all of that. But the fact remains is, people, you can be in the presence of God where it's so overwhelming that you cannot stand. And then they go and they ask him again. He asks him, who are you looking for? And he says, this is who I am. And he says, look, this is who I am. I know you're here for me. Just leave the others and let's get on with it, okay? Here, lock me up. That's what happened. This is this God. Acknowledging God's sovereignty means allowing him to change our hearts. This is this God. We speak about his sovereignty. Allowing him to change our hearts. In one of the Gospels, I believe it's the book of Mark, I think it's the 7th chapter, there or thereabouts, I'm not sure. It says that there's something that can render the Word of God powerless. Think about that. This powerful God, in the beginning was the Word was God, the Word was with God, and he came flesh and dwelt amongst men. There's something that can render that powerless. And that's the human will. The Bible says the traditions of men. Through the traditions of men and ons eie moedswilligheid, we can render the Word of God powerless. Because as awesome and powerful and mighty as he is, God ain't going to force himself on anybody. He wants a heart that is opened up to him. Then it's not love. That you receive who he is and what he's done for you as a God of love. And he won't force himself upon you. So acknowledging the sovereignty of God is allowing God to change your heart. One of the aspects is allowing God to change your heart. Of Isaiah 10 and verse 12, it says, plant the good seeds of righteousness, and you will harvest a crop of love. Plow up the hard ground of your hearts, for now is the time to seek the Lord, that he may come and shower righteousness. That he may come and shower righteousness upon you. Plow up the ground of your hard hearts. Picture that. It's hardened ground that's been baked in the sun, and the plow comes with the blades of the plow, and it digs in, and it churns it up. God's saying, let that happen to your heart, so that it's a fertile place for you to receive my word and say, son, daughter, I love you. I love you just the way you are, but I love you too much to leave you the way you are. I want you to change. Become like my son, Jesus. I've got a better life for you. Jy hoef nie voort te sikkel op jou eie en jou eie planne maak nie, wat in elk geval nie uitwerk nie. I've got a plan for your life. Just give me a chance to change you. That's one of the ways of acknowledging God's sovereignty. Another way of acknowledging God's sovereignty is realizing that we're desperately in need of a Savior. Acknowledging that we're in need of a Savior. My personal testimony, it took me 20 years before I let Jesus fix me. The devil convinced me that as a man, if you have to ask for help, you're already a failure. I believe that lie. Daarom het ek nie vir hulp gevra nie. I was all cool, calm, and collected on the outside. So smooth I could roll uphill. But I was dying on the inside. I was messed up because I refused help. Hardnekkig. I didn't want help because the devil said, oh, you need help. You're a failure. So I was on my own when I met Jesus. And he had to let me be completely broken on my own before I said, come into my life, Lord. I can't take this anymore. Please take over. I had to realize, you asked me when it comes to faith issues and salvation issues, I tell you, nee, ek is reg. No, I'm fine. I'm a Christian. I know God. Meantime, I was hell-bound. Didn't have a relationship with Jesus. Hadn't acknowledged Him as Lord and my Savior. I knew about Jesus. But I didn't let Him be Lord of my life. I didn't let Him control me. I wanted to control me until I had to realize that I need a Savior. I need saving. And what messed my head up, maybe some of you are like that this morning. The harder I tried to do things right, the more it span out of control in my life. The harder I tried to do all the goody two-shoes things, time and time again, I'd say to myself, I'm never going to do this again. And before I wipe the sleep out of my eyes, back to square one. Can anybody relate to what I'm saying this morning? And it's because I didn't realize I need a Savior. I don't need saving. I'm fine. I don't murder people, at least not every month. I don't sleep around, at least not everybody. I don't steal, at least not much. You know, I don't have hate and bitterness in my heart, at least not all the days of the week. So I get myself heeltyd geregverdig over and over, not realizing I need salvation, ladies and gentlemen. Acknowledging the sovereignty of God is realizing we need saving. Secular humanism will teach you this, that inherently all people are good. How so-called intelligent people with massive fat degrees behind their name can believe that is beyond me. Because all you need to do, if you put a mirror under your nose and you breathe and have awesome up, then you should be able to get this. Just look at the world and see the mess that we are in. People are not inherently good. We'll destroy ourselves, and we're busy destroying ourselves. As parents, did you need to teach your children how to be naughty? They came out of the mother's womb fully equipped. Eugene and Nicole, is reg. They came out fully equipped and able to be. You don't have to teach them. It's the broken, fallen human nature that we're all born with. That is why, ladies and gentlemen, the Bible says you need to be born again. Give up your old nature and let God give you the nature of His Son, Jesus. That's acknowledging the sovereignty of God. So they teach that inherently all people are good. No, we're not. Left to our own devices, we will destroy ourselves and we'll destroy other people around us. That is a lie from the pit of hell. Human beings are not inherently good. We desperately need salvation. Jeremiah 17 and verse 9 says, every now and again I'm going to bark. Please excuse me. Name yourself. Jeremiah 17 and verse 9. The human heart is the most deceitful thing of all things. Wow. And desperately wicked. Who really knows how bad it is? Well, not really. Ek het mense al gesien ernstig, ernstig droog maak in hulle lewens. And I think to myself, you chop. How can you do something so stupid in my self-righteousness? Not realizing those people, like me and you, my brothers and sisters, at any given time, we are one decision away from total disaster in our lives. One decision. And given the right circumstances, anybody is capable of anything. Don't think, I will never do that. Not me. I'm too Holy Joe Christianese. 1 Corinthians 10 and verse 12, we touched on it last week. Let him who thinks he stands be careful, because he can also fall. And when we get this, the heart of man is desperately wicked. Who can know it? God. And the good news this morning, church, is that even though He knows our hearts are desperately wicked, He chose us. I said, He chose us. He chose me. He chose you. And I would much rather choose like beautiful creatures like dolphins and eagles that are so noble, and cute little chipmunks and squirrels. And I would choose those things because they're fantastic. A dog. A dog is like, I wish I could be half the man my dog thinks I am. I would choose those creatures. They kill to survive, not because they can, or they want to prove a point, or they got an ego, or whatever. But no, God chose us. Yes, that child's screaming, amen. Same, preach it, pastor. What was I speaking? Yeah, so God chose us. He chose us. People, think about it. Think about if you go shopping for something, are you going to settle for second, third, fourth best or whatever, or the broken stick and this and that? No, you're going to try and find the best that you can afford. God chose us. He chose us. That's good news. Ladies and gentlemen, that's good news. And acknowledging God's sovereignty is realizing we need God to change our hearts. In His sovereignty, God's plan is always for our good. What does He want to do with the hearts? And what can He do with these hearts of ours? Ezekiel 36 and verse 26. And I will give you a new heart, and I'll put a new spirit in you. I will take out your stony, stubborn heart and give you a tender, responsive heart. That's what He'll do. And that's His plan of salvation for us. Next point. Acknowledging God's sovereignty means calling Him the Most High. Say, God, You're high, You're mighty, You're holy, You're wonderful. And honoring Him. In other words, acknowledging that He's Lord of our lives and also honoring Him with your lifestyle. What does it help? I stand here and sing Agnus Dei and Jesus, all I need is You. And I go out there and I live like Satan's brother. Is that just not false, empty religion? Then I'm a hypocrite. Acknowledging God's sovereignty means I acknowledge Him with my mouth, but also with my lifestyle. I say, Lord, You are holy, You are mighty, but my lifestyle must match up what's coming out of my mouth, ladies and gentlemen. And does it mean we and your vandal mark your neute fotni? No. It means that when you make a mistake, you trip and you fall, you get Him, say, Lord, help me, forgive me, pick up the pieces, Lord, heal me, make me whole again. It doesn't mean that you honor God with your lifestyle. How many of you, since you gave your life to the Lord Jesus, have never slipped up once? Oh, hello. And God knows that, folks. And His redemptive plan is, that's why Jesus died. And remember, grace is not a license to sin. Oh, there's grace, now I can let rip. No. Grace enables us to live life to the full potential that God intended us to have. That's what grace means. To live out the full potential that God has for you. That's what grace is. Doesn't, oh, God will forgive me, God will forgive me, and you have no plans of changing. Mense, hy sien ons harte raak. Yeah. Okay. Hosea 11 and verse 7. For my people are determined to desert me. They call me the Most High, but they don't truly honor me. Isaiah 29 verse 13. And so the Lord says, these people, they say they are mine, they honor me with their lips, but their hearts are far from me. And their worship of me is nothing but man-made rules learned by rote. In other words, repetition. Wow. May that never be said of us. And who's he talking about? The Satan worshippers and the atheists? No. What do you say? My people. My people honor me with their mouths. Hallelujah. Praise the Here. En al buiten beklei hulle, hulle beskinder mekaar, hulle is kwaad vir mekaar, hulle kyk hier vir mekaar nie, hulle talk to the hand, the ears ain't listening. Rarig, God's people. Wow. So acknowledging the sovereignty of God is realizing we need a Savior. And here I'm going to start to land this thing. When we speak about the sovereignty of God, even though God is sovereign, this holy, holy, awesome God. Angels tremble in His presence in adoration and worship. He says, I am He, and 600 men. Nerf af. Lippe teen die klippe. He's this awesome God. But He's still approachable. Think about that. He's still approachable. Sometimes people are so high and mighty, and they see in English, I don't know what it is in Afrikaans, but like they're aloof. It's like they up there and like you down here. And you feel, you know, you can't approach them. God is not like that. He is approachable. In fact, he says, come to me. He is sovereign. He is mighty. He's almighty, but he's approachable. And in Matthew 11 and verse 28 to 30, Jesus says, come to me. You want a written invitation? There it is. Come to me. All you who are weary and carry heavy burdens. Don't raise your hands now, church. But how many of you are sitting with burdens inside right now that nobody knows about? Maybe you've tried to lighten the load, lighten the burden, and people do know about it. But guess what? People have let you down. Maybe churches have let you down. Pastors, friends, family have just let you down. And you've lost hope, and you're cynical and suspicious. Somebody greets you, you think, hi, how's it going? You say, Fataliye. You're just waiting to be hurt. When somebody gives you a hug, you think they're looking for a place in your back to put the knife in. Maybe people have done that to you. And I'm not being disrespectful. It's real. It's real. I want to tell you that God is approachable. God is approachable. You can come to God. He's not going to put a knife in your back. He's approachable. He says, come to me, all you are weary and heavy laden, and carry heavy burdens. So my brother, my sister, you're here this morning with that burden. There's this invitation from Jesus. And I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you. Let me teach you, because I am humble and gentle at heart. And you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy to bear, and the burden I give you is light. And in meditating on this scripture, as I was putting it as part of the sermon, I don't know how many times I've read this over the years, studying the scriptures. I've never seen it like this morning. You read the yoke and you know what the yoke is. If two oxen walk together, the yoke is that device that they put over their necks so that they can walk together. And when Jesus says, take the yoke, somehow in my small little pea brain, I used to imagine me carrying the yoke alone. And when he says, take my yoke, it's that we can walk with him side by side, step by step, always at his side, him never leaving us. That's what he means. Take my yoke upon you. This heaviness, this religion, this burden, all the stuff that you're trying to do on your own, let's get it off your neck. Let me walk alongside you with my yoke, because my yoke is easy, my burden is light, and I will teach you and I will help you. That's what Jesus is saying. Is that good news or is that good news? He's an approachable God. He says, come to me and I will give you light. James 4 and verse 8. Come close to God and he will come close to you. Wash your hands. That's where sanitizing comes from. Wash your hands, you sinners. Purify your hearts, for your loyalty is divided between God and the world. Come close to God. And what's amazing, the way that scripture is written, he says, come close to me. Knowing that we're double-minded, and he still, regardless, he says, come. Come, come as you are. Come as you are. I want you, I love you as you are. Only I and only I can fix you. Come, let me fix you. Hallelujah. That's good news, man. Hebrews 4 and verse 16. So let us come boldly to the throne of our gracious God. There we will receive his mercy, and we will find grace to help us when we need it most. I'm done preaching. To recap, acknowledging the sovereignty of God means that we realize that we need our hearts changed. Acknowledging the sovereignty of God means that we realize we need salvation. Acknowledging the sovereignty of God means that we call him the Most High, but also honor him with our lifestyles. And although he's sovereign, he's an approachable God. He extends an invitation to us and he says, come, take my yoke upon you. I'll help you carry this. I'll walk with you and give you light. Draw near to me and I will draw near to you. And I want to repeat Hebrews 4 and verse 16. So let us come boldly to the throne of grace. Why boldly? If you're sitting here my brother, my sister, and the devil accuses you, yeah, you're a scaramuncle, you're a little so-and-so. How many times have you repented? Yes, yes, a hypocrite, yes, he's over ochend. What are you trying to do? Don't you know what you've done in the week? How many times have you repented? You're not trying, and the devil accusing. And maybe the devil's convincing you to skarm away from the throne of God. The scripture says, come boldly, throw yourself at his feet of mercy and his grace. And say, Lord, I can't fix me. Please help me. Yes, this heart of mine, change it, make me whole, and make me new. Leon, have you arranged another song? Okay, cool. I want to pray with each one of us this morning as we close off. And I want to encourage you to take a few moments and meditate on the fact that you've received an invitation from the Lord this morning. If you know there's an area in your life where you've maybe acknowledged God with your mouth, but there's an area of hardness in your heart concerning something. I don't know what it is. You and the Lord know what it is. Right there where you're seated. We just lift that up to the Lord in prayer this morning. You can pray along these lines quietly to yourself and say, God, I want to acknowledge that you're sovereign. I have a heart that needs changing, Lord. That thing that I keep doing over and over, that habit that I can't break, that unforgiveness that I have, that bitterness, that hatred, Lord, that fear that grips hold of me all the time. Lord, the way I hurt other people, even though I don't mean to, Lord, whatever the issue may be, you know where it is. And just submit it to the Lordship of Jesus this morning. Just honestly, pray in your heart to say, Father, in Jesus' name, I ask you to forgive me. I'm realized that I'm somebody that sins, Lord God, and I need grace. I need forgiveness and I need mercy. I can't do it on my own, and I'm tired of trying on my own. Jesus, please help me. Lord Jesus, I believe that you're God's Son. I believe that you died and rose again from the grave and shed your blood to cleanse me of all of my sin. I ask you now, Lord, as I acknowledge you with my mouth, I say, Jesus Christ is God's Son. He's King of Kings and he's Lord of Lords. And I say that with my mouth and I believe it in my heart that you died and you rose again from the grave to set me free. So I ask, Lord, that you come into my life and take control and heal that area of my heart that I've not yielded to you. Be gracious to me. Thank you for dying for me and thank you for loving me. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. May Almighty God bless you and keep you. May God make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. May God lift up his countenance over you and give you a supernatural peace that surpasses all understanding. If we're not going to see you till the new year, please have a good time of rest. Remember that Jesus is the reason for the season. Connect with family. Stay safe and healthy. Eat, but don't eat too much. And enjoy yourself. But if you're going to come again, God bless you. We're looking forward to seeing you same time, same place next week, Saturday. Thank you for listening, church. God bless you.